million beers!
All right, dear listeners, this is the first of a million beers. We're going to take a quick 1 minute here to explain what we're going to do. So Marie and I are going to scream. We're not really, we hopefully won't actually scream, but we are going to talk about something that we have read in the news that week, something that's been bothering us, whatever. These are going to be quick, like 15-minute mini-sodes, just kind of going over, you know, kind of funny stuff we saw.
And, we're shooting the poop.
Shooting the poop. We're going to see what we get up to here. And that way, hopefully, these longer deep dive episodes that we're doing this season are not going to seem so far away for you listeners, because you're always going to have little 15-minute tidbits of me and Marie in your inbox.
Of us being idiots, which is really what you people want.
Really what you're listening here for. All right,
that's
Marie.
What you're listening for.
So this week, the quick one, or one of the ones that we're going to do this week, is Julian Assange was kicked out of the embassy he was staying in.
Yeah. Yeah. He got booted from where was it?
He was in the Ecuadorian embassy.
Yes, in London.
Yeah.
Okay, so he was there. Dude, he was there for 7 years, first of all, okay? So he couldn't go outside. It's not like, oh, he's going to run down to the chip shop, right? Chipper shop and grab some food, maybe a pint or something like that. He's not going anywhere, right?
Yeah.
And, like, the reports were just, like, horrendous about, like, him, you know, skateboarding up and down the halls. This is an embassy. This is like where the Ecuadorians are having to conduct their national state business with other leaders. And they've got this wackadoo just hanging out there. I don't understand. Like, here's what I don't get. I don't understand why they said, hey, I have an idea. Assange, why don't you just come and crash at our place?
Well,
right?
Why
would they do that?
I don't know. Well, so what's interesting is, I guess, so initially, so okay. So first off, Assange has kind of been, you know, WikiLeaks, it's been a big question, an open question, I think, right now, especially too in the United States politics, but just generally across the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of been an open question about, for basically since WikiLeaks first come on the scene, right, or came on the scene, of is WikiLeaks a good actor or not, right?
Yes.
And so I think
are
in the
they
United,
journalists or are they not journalists?
Right. And so I think in the United States right now, just given recent events, a lot of people are more on the side of, well, they're not journalists, right? They're a propaganda arm, right? But right. You have some people pushing back on that, right? I mean, you know, it's never the party in power always claims that the people putting out secrets about them are a propaganda arm, right? I mean, it's just a simple thing. The difference here is that they never put out bad stories about dictators, right? Like they're always attacking the West, essentially. They're never attacking, say, Russia, and they haven't their entire time. And so what's been kind of interesting with this is that essentially when he first went into the Ecuadorian embassy, it was mm-hmm. evidently because he had been very pro the previous Ecuadorian government.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right?
That's right.
He was in the embassy, and then a new government, a more conservative government came in, and he started in a government that wanted more to do with the West, frankly. And so then Assange and WikiLeaks mm-hmm. started putting out crap about the new government in Ecuador, and they're like,
"We're crashing on their sofa."
Right, and so they're like, "Well, let's just get him out of here," right?
Well, but I just don't like 7 years. Like, that's not a solution, right? So I don't know. I think when Assange first came on with more with the Chelsea Manning and the Panama leaks or whatever that whole trove of information. I thought it was interesting at the time because it was disclosing a lot of things that you weren't seeing about the war, right? You were learning stuff and it was kind of horrific and there was video and it was really, you know, I thought that he was bringing a lot of it to light, but then I keep coming back to, do journalists have a responsibility to be responsible? I mean, do they have a duty to tell the truth, but also to be responsible in how they do it? And I think that that's where I feel like WikiLeaks is not a journalist. They're not. They're almost like a black market of information. But they're not journalism. It's not real journalism. They're not making. They're posting all this stuff without consequence of what it could do to anyone.
Well,
which is not responsible.
And I also think the difference is too, right? I mean, like, that's one of the big protections of of United States journalists or journalism in the United States is you can, if I provide you documents that are stolen and you publish them, that is still protected by the First Amendment.
Yes.
However, if you help me steal documents, that is not protected.
Yes.
Right.
That's bad.
And so you're like, you're still committing a crime. And so WikiLeaks is essentially is helping to commit the crime, right, every time, or most of the time, at least. And then when other information comes out, right, it's like the Panama Papers, which were which showed corruption. I mean, not just in the United States, the United Kingdom, and France, but showed corruption in Russia, showed corruption in Eastern Europe, right? It showed corruption all over the place. WikiLeaks came out against those releases because essentially they were attacking his buddies in Eastern Europe. You know?
Oh yeah, so that's right.
It's a really interesting. It's just a really interesting thing, and okay, but here's the thing about this that really kind of I love this part of the story. Okay,
is it about the cat?
It's not about the cat, although the cat part is really funny. So evidently, while Assange has been in the Ecuadorian embassy, he has been visited by his close friend Pamela Anderson.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
It's so, like, are you kidding me?
Now,
I saw some photos of that, and I was like, yeah, that's about right. That's about right.
So
that's journalism.
Right. So she went, she's visited him pretty regularly. Mm-hmm. And so she wrote a letter basically went on 60 Minutes Australia and said to the Australian Prime Minister, you have an Australian citizen here with Julian Assange, right? Mm-hmm. Hanging out in Ecuador's embassy in the UK right now. He's basically being attacked for his political views, and you should help him. And the Prime Minister evidently said some kind of jokes about Pamela Anderson. And so then this is a letter that she wrote. It's an open letter. So, dear Mr. Prime Minister Morrison, Scott Morrison, your comments following my appeal to you on 60 Minutes were disappointing. You trivialized and laughed about the suffering of an Australian and his family. You followed it with smutty, unnecessary comments about a woman voicing her political opinion. We all deserve better from our leaders, especially in the current environment. 92% of Australians were in favor of bringing Julian home. Rather than making lewd suggestions about me, perhaps you should instead think about what you are going to say to millions of Australians when one of their own is marched in an orange jumpsuit to Guantanamo Bay for publishing the truth. You can prevent this, end quote. That's not the whole letter, but man, Pamela Anderson laying the smackdown.
That was a good smackdown. I would say the Prime Minister should not have brought her into it or shouldn't have brought it up. I mean, Assange on his own, to me, I don't have, like, a lot of fact base on this, but whatever. I think he's kind of a dillweed. Like, I don't think that he has any intent except to set as many fires as he possibly can, you know? And I just, again, like, how he's put out these missives and this information without any type of redaction, without any type of, like responsibility. Like, again, just because these are stolen documents, that doesn't mean, like, he's now responsible for them. And if he's trying to prove a point or trying to, address and right a wrong, then he should do so in a responsible manner and not just, you know, dump everything in there regardless of what it is.
Right.
I mean, even Snowden, who people have beef with, which I can see, Snowden gave it to journalists, said, hey, you know, I am now entrusting you to do the right thing. And then WikiLeaks just pushed it all out anyways. They don't care.
Well, it's also
– so to me, it's like he doesn't care.
No, it's also part of a larger thing, though, where, like, we – just because government has secrets doesn't mean that they're interesting or important.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the fact that, you know, it always kind of drives me crazy when, you know, anytime these things get released and it's like, oh, you see that they got another, they got another 300,000 emails, 400,000 emails from so-and-so or from so-and-so government or whatever. And it's like, you know, 98% of them are like, what do you want for lunch today? Or, you know, did you see Bill is wearing an orange tie? What an idiot. You know, they're not, governments have secrets because their people are fucking morons. And
right.
Like, that's why we don't have direct democracy, because people are idiots, because people would be voting for, you know, think about every season of American Idol. That's the way voting would occur. You know, think about boxing, you know, how many movies has The Rock been in this year that he, I mean, I think The Rock is great, but those are not quality movies. How many Fast and Furious movies have there been? Do you know what I mean?
What?
People are morons. People do not necessarily, they're not exactly great arbiters of what is good for them or what is right or whatever. So I just think
it's. And then you went in and you brought in Fast and Furious.
Sorry, I have to. I don't know. It just seems to me it's such an interesting thing that, you know, it is important, right? The stuff that Snowden brought to light, I think, is important. I thought some of the stuff that WikiLeaks first published was important and interesting and good for people to know, right? About the war, about the war and about you know, attacks on civilians and civilian attacks.
Right. All we're seeing that stuff.
Right. All of that is really, really important. What isn't necessarily important. I mean, it's again, still important, I think, but we're almost becoming calloused to the fact or to these drops. And because they're not releasing important stuff, they're just releasing everything. It kind of becomes like just another day. Right. It's kind of what happens with corruption in the United States, right? Like when those first stories of corruption came out during, you know, kind of around Teddy Roosevelt's time in office, when those muckrakers first started publishing these stories about, you know, huge corruption in big cities and stuff, it was a huge impact. Nowadays, that kind of level of corruption is just seen as kind of, you know, passé, you know, I mean, he gave him the money in a sack. What a Luddite, you know,
should have been so, Bitcoin. Yeah.
Right.
No, totally.
I mean, so it's just so frustrating. And I think too, a lot of the times it's the same thing with a lot of political opinion in the United States. The reason people are supporting WikiLeaks is not for the, it's not because they think WikiLeaks is publishing truth. It's because they think WikiLeaks is sticking it to the other side that they don't like.
Yeah, which is, again, not a journalist's responsibility. A journalist's responsibility is to relate a story telling the facts and get the information out there in a non-biased, non-partisan way for as much time as possible, right? And I feel like he doesn't want to do that. And within this last, you know, 2016 election, that's where, to me, he turned the corner. It was like, I could have maybe argued semi-journalism, but I don't think he's a journalist because, again, he's not taking any responsibility. He's not framing a story. To your point, he's just like sending out a bazillion different emails without any sort of editorial perspective on any of it that would give any kind of guidance or anything. And it's just, you know, and now it's like he actively is hacking or actively is participating in the downfall or the, you know, subjugation of an election, which is criminal. But the thing that they got him on, like, I was pretty surprised at, like, man, what they ended up, you know, Ecuador was like, all right, he's done. You can come get him. And what they pulled him on was pretty intense, too. Well, I mean, it was like of all the things that they were going to get him on, I was like, oh, that's different.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing, too, that I think is kind of interesting is he's definitely not a journalist because, again, he broke the law. Right.
Yeah.
So that immediately puts him, he's a criminal. Right? He's a criminal. He helped break the law. Now, whether or not that breaking of the law was important or good, that's another question, I think.
Yeah. But, or civil disobedience. Like, right. I don't even think it was civilly disobedient because he was putting people in harm's way unnecessarily.
Well, the thing is that too, as further and further evidence comes out, it's clear that he is part of an astroturfing campaign, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not doing it. This is not a lone actor working to get the truth out there.
No.
This is a part of another government's attempts to hurt Western democracies, right?
Yeah.
Now, that being said, right, we are pretty good in the West at screwing up other people's elections. And
we
like,
are.
And we're really good at coming in and being like, you guys didn't really mean to vote for this guy. We're going to give some guns to your rebels. You know, so I mean, I think the whole...
Yes.
That part of this whole argument to me is kind of, it's kind of funny. You know, we're like, we're holding our... I mean, again, what happened to the election is terrible, but we're kind of hold, you know, we're kind of... We're clutching our bonnets and being like, I can't believe someone would try to interfere with a democratic process in another country. And like the entirety of South America is like,
yeah,
oh, yeah, it's so weird that that happened.
El Salvador.
To you.
Yeah.
It's so weird that that happened. Uh-huh. I can't believe it. Anyways, all right. That's the end of the first A Million Beers.
A Million Beers. Don't you know that
you're a grown up? I'm a grown-up.
Me too.
Yep, me too. But you know, these days, being a grown-up can really suck.
Luckily, we're grown-ups who grew up in the coolest generation.
We had video arcades.
And also some of the best TV and movies ever made.
We lived the origin of awesome consumer electronics. The list goes on and on.
Yep, Generation X.
Exactly.
And we're Gen X Grown-Up.
Every week, the Gen X Grown-Up podcast explores media, tech, toys, games, and more from both yesterday and today.
Through the eyes of Generation Xers who absolutely love that stuff. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on our website, genxgrownup.com. Life sucks as a grown-up. All right, I think that was good enough.
I hope so, man. I'm tired.
Who listens to a promo on a podcast and then goes and listens to a different podcast?
Right.
I've never done it. No. Right.